الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام, respected brothers and sisters at the madrasa, we were discussing over the past few majlises the ashar and poetry of Hazrat Khaja Azizul Hasan Majzoob Rahmatullah Ali, in which he advises the Muslim Ummah to get up from their slumber and sleep and prepare for action. But in tonight's majlis, we will discuss one of his other poetry, Nayi Roshni. Tera ae nayi roshni muh kala, dilo mein andhera hai bahar ujala. Tera ae nayi roshni muh kala, dilo mein andhera hai bahar ujala. He says, oh, modern civilization. Nayi Roshni we will translate as modern civilization. May your face be blackened. We discussed this some time back. May your face be blackened. Dilo mein andhera hai bahar ujala. Inside the hearts there's darkness, and outside everywhere there's lights. You go to any city, go to any city of the world, and you will find so much of lights, so much of lights, especially America, Canada, England, and other parts of the world. Everywhere there's just nothing but lights, brightness, shine. But inside the hearts, there's nothing but darkness. That means outside, everywhere you're seeing a lot of brightness, lot of shine, lot of glitter and glamour, lot of beauty, lot of attraction. But inside the hearts, there's nothing but darkness. Nothing but darkness. Bazaahir to baham badi yariya hai, dilo ko tatolo to bezariya hai. Jo ab yariya hai, wo ayyariya hai, ke dar par dhaka kya sitam gariya hai. Tera ae nai roshni muh kala, dilo mein andhera hai bahar ujala. The gist and the meaning of this is that outwardly, if you have to look, then there's a lot of friendship, lot of claims, loud claims of friendship. And why I brought this subject up for tonight is that recently there have been so many complaints, and our majlis, as I stated, is a majlis in which we discuss different aspects of our lives. And something that's pertinent, relevant, we try to bring it to your attention. And with this niyyah that Allah Ta'ala make all of us His close ones and make our Islah. Amen. And Islah only comes about when we bring the complete deen in our lives, not just certain aspects of deen. Unfortunately, these days, there are some aspects of deen in our lives. But if you have to really look at our hearts, which is what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala looks at. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ صُوَرِكُمْ وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَقْوَالِكُمْ وَلَاكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ أو كما قال. That Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not look at your faces and your words, that how beautiful face you have and how beautiful speech you give. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala looks at your hearts and your actions. That what kind of actions are coming out from that body. The person can have a black, dark face, like Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an. He had a dark face, flat nose, big lips. Outwardly there wasn't beauty, but his heart was so white and so pure and so clean that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to call him Ya Sayyidi. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, when I went in Jannat on the night of Miraj, then I heard your footsteps there, Bilal. What is that amal that you do? So Allah Ta'ala does not look at faces, He does not look at our wealth, He does not look at our bodies, He does not look at our words and speeches. Allah Ta'ala looks at what is in the heart. And here this is what Hazrat Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi is saying, that outwardly there's a lot of claim of friendship. And as I stated, that I brought this up because recently there are so many friends, so many brothers, so many sisters who are complaining that we trusted this person and he betrayed the trust. Betrayal of trust has become such a common feature in the lives of Muslims, and especially when it comes to people who are close friends. This person will say that I trusted him, I went into business partnership with him, and next thing he took me for a ride. Somebody transferred everything onto his name. Somebody took the title deeds and transferred properties onto his name. Somebody took the power of attorney and misused it, abused it while the person was in Hajj. He left the power of attorney to a very close, trusted friend of his, and also a family member. And whilst he was in Hajj, he thought that this family member, that I left the power of attorney in his hands, so he is very safe and reliable. Last year this happened. And when that person came back, he found that his bank account was wiped out clean. So many incidents of this nature are taking place. So therefore, that Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he says that this new civilization. Is this the new civilization? Is this something that we are proud about, that we keep talking about the new civilization? We talk about modern times. We talk about beauty of the architecture of modern times. He says all these things are just outside. Outwardly there's a lot of friendship. But if you have to look at the hearts, everybody seems to be distanced from the other person. Bodies are sometimes very close, but the hearts are far apart. We stand shoulder to shoulder sometimes. Hazrat Maulana Wasiullah Rahmatullah Alayhi say that in my majlis, a person used to come and used to sit always next to one particular friend of his. Always. One particular person used to always sit next to him. And when they used to talk, he said the impression that was created is these two people are very, very good friends. He says, Ek din khud usne aakar ke mujhe kaha. Maulana Wasiullah Rahmatullah Alayhi says, one day that person came and told me, he says that agar mera bus chale to uski gardan daba kar usko khatam kar do. He says, if I can help it, I will throttle him. He says, tab maine samjha ke sometime you can be sitting very close, but that doesn't necessarily mean that your hearts are close. Because that sincerity is no more there, that ikhlas is lacking. Ikhlas does not come except in the sohbat of the Ahle Dil. They make a lot of effort for this ikhlas. It doesn't just come down from the heavens into the hearts. There's a lot of effort that they put into ikhlas. The hearts of the Ahlullah are the reservoirs of ikhlas. And if we are going to show no interest in their sohbat and company, then we are the ones that are going to be deprived, because it comes from there. They have made the effort, they have made the sacrifices, they have shed so much of tears and so much of blood, and then we get it easily from there, we pluck it from the tree. Ripe fruits we get. Where can we make that mujahada, and where can we make those sacrifices that our akabir and mashayikh made? So this ikhlas is lacking. He said, therefore outwardly there's a lot of muhabbat, outwardly, but in the hearts there is nothing but hatred and dislike. Bharosa nahi ab jahan mein kisi ka ke ab daur daura hai bas palsi ka na gham be basi ka na gham muflisi ka jo rona hame hai to rona isi ka bharosa nahi ab jahan mein kisi ka ke ab daur daura hai bas palsi ka na gham be basi ka na gham muflisi ka jo rona hame hai to rona isi ka tera ae nayi roshni muh kala dilo mein andhera hai bahar ujala. He says these are days in which you trust no one. When you deal with people, deal with them as if they are strangers. They can be your father, they can be your brother, the person can be your sister, the person can be your close friend. But when you are dealing with the person, then deal with that person as you would deal with a stranger. When it comes to gifts, then you can give gifts of millions, nobody will ask you a question. But when you are saying that I'm doing a deal with the person, I'm entering into a transaction with this person, then at that time make sure that you take down everything in writing. You reduce everything to writing. Because there are so many problems that are created when there is nothing in writing, and a few years later down the line the person says that this is what we agreed upon. Where is the evidence? There is no evidence. Because there was trust. So this trust is a very good thing. In fact, at one time the word of the person was far more weightier than his written word. What was in writing was not that weightier as his word was weighty. If the Muslim gave his commitment, if the Muslim gave his word, then even if he lost millions after that, the person gave his word, this business is sold to you, this property is sold to you, you can have my word, it is yours. And 2 days later that person had a buyer and that person offered him $1 million more. This person will say, I gave my word. That is how our elders were. That is why they were respected in society. That is why even non-Muslims trusted them and respected them. But today, even if we write, then we have to read the fine print. We have to take it to the lawyers and say, please read this properly and tell me that where this person can still wriggle out. That is our condition. So he says, Barosa nahi ab jahan mein kisi ka. Hazrat Maulana Wasiullah Rahmatullah Alayhi used to repeatedly say, ye dunya is waqt iski currency jo hai. He says, sikka raijul waqt. The currency of the time is nifaq and hypocrisy. He says, the currency of the time is hypocrisy and nifaq. When the person will meet you, then you will think that this person is so trustworthy. He's such a close friend, such a close companion. And he's got so much of feeling and so much of sympathy and so much of concern for me. But when the real test comes, then at that time the person realizes that there was nothing in it but hypocrisy. Therefore, Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayh in his last days, Hazrat Maulana Wasiullah Rahmatullah Alayh in his last days, Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh in his last days, Hazrat Khaja Moinuddin Ajmeri Rahmatullah Alayh in his speeches and aqwal, in Hazrat Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayh's aqwal and speeches, you will find the same thing, hypocrisy. It's how dangerous it is. That you cannot trust. This trust which was the treasure of the Muslims, which was the jewel of the Muslim. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that a time will come when people will say that there is one trustworthy person in this village. That there is a trustworthy person in this village somewhere. There is a trustworthy person. What a difference from the time of his and his companions, when you could say that every Muslim, each and every Muslim, everyone who accepted Islam, everyone who read the kalima, everyone who pledged allegiance to Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then you could say that he is trustworthy. How trustworthy that even one shepherd, on one occasion, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, they were going and they saw one shepherd, he was grazing some sheep. So to test that shepherd, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, told him, he says that, join us for meal. So he said, no, I am fasting. So then he said, well, sell us one of that sheep so we can slaughter it and we will give you some meat from there too, you can have it for iftar. So he says, the sheep do not belong to me, they belong to my master. He said, but you've got so many here, if one of them you have to just slaughter and sell it away, who's going to ask you and where is going to bother about it and where is he going to count? He trusts you. So he said, فَأَيْنَ اللَّهِ. If I am going to do that, where is Allah gone? If my master is not seeing here, where is my Allah gone? That means so much of effort had been put by Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the lives of the Sahabas, that not only did they become trustworthy, even their slaves were trustworthy. And what a difference that Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that a time will come when people will say there is one trustworthy person amongst these people. How true it is. Today, which parliamentarian you can trust? Which cabinet minister you can trust? Which government official you can trust? Which policeman you can trust? We don't say all are bad. There are many good ones. But what I am saying is that which one can you trust if he is a stranger? At one time we would have said that any person who is a policeman, then it was his duty to look after the others, to take the, to make sure that nobody is stealing, no crime is committed. But today it is on the tongues of everyone, on the lips of everyone, that you cannot trust the police, they are part of the crime. So how true Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's predictions. But whatever it may be for others, but we must look at our lives. Whenever we are listening to these talks and these majlises, then it is an x-ray for our own hearts. I must x-ray my heart, you must x-ray your heart. And if we have this weakness, then the whole purpose of this majlis is to get rid of that weakness. Until the islah of the qalb is not made, we will not get any noor inside that heart. Allah Ta'ala will not come into that heart. How many times you may have heard of that example my Shaykh gives, that if you get a good, honored, respected guest, then you will make the room clean and tidy. You want that person to stay in a nice clean room. When the guest comes, in accordance with his dignity, with his position, you give him a nice room. But if that guest comes and he is a dignified person, even an ordinary guest, if he has to come to our house, and if we have to put him up in a room where there are dead cats and dead rats and dead dogs and urine and stool of animals, then you think that guest will like to eat there or sleep there? He will run faster than he enters your home. So these hearts which are filled with all the filth, filth of pride, filth of arrogance, filth of jealousy, filth of malice, filth of greed, filth of evil desires and passions, filth of hypocrisy and nifaq, how can we expect Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to come into these hearts? We want peace of mind. Peace of mind is when Allah Ta'ala enters those hearts. Allah is not in physical form, He is not in body. What it means is that when Allah Ta'ala's tajalli is cast on those hearts, when His mercy, when His glance of rahmat is focused on that heart, then that person will get peace, he will get tranquility, he will get harmony, he'll get serenity, he'll get enjoyment, he'll get satisfaction. In all conditions he will be in ecstasy and joy. So that will happen when we clean and purify these hearts. All the effort that we are making at present is just for our zahir, zahir. Zahir is extremely important. Without the zahir, the batin also doesn't come right. Yes. Many times you have heard that. But to be satisfied that our zahir is corrected. We come to the masjid, we have got the garb of piety, so therefore now we are pious and there is no more any effort required. And now we only criticize, condemn everybody, so much so that even the Ahlullah we criticize and condemn, because we find that they are not doing the work according to how we want them to do the work. Then how far we have gone from deen. We haven't even understood deen. These people, they are the reservoirs of ikhlas. We can't get it from anywhere else. In one majlis, we do not know how many hearts they light up, how many people they connect with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, how many people they make them give up their sins, make tawbah from sins, and pledge to Allah Ta'ala to be obedient to Him. So this is what Hazrat Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says, that this is what I am crying about. He says, at present I'm not crying about poverty in the Muslim Ummah, there's a lot of poverty. Indeed, it's something to cry about. If Muslims are rich, if Muslims are wealthy, if Muslims have got good homes and good businesses, flourishing businesses, then we must be very happy, we must make dua, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must bless them with even more. But when the Muslims have got everything, but they do not have the heart, they do not have that heart in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's tajalli is cast, then it is useless. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, he says, main jab musalmanon ki khushhali dekhta hoon to mujhe bahut khushi hoti hai. When I look at the good condition of Muslims, and it makes me very happy, because if the Muslim will have wealth, then he will use it for good causes. But if that Muslim's wealth is now being used in the casinos, in the theatres, in the cinemas, and if some singers have to just come, then like flock of sheep we just follow, like how the rats followed the Pied Piper, in the same way we just follow the musicians, then when Dajjal will come, his greatest attraction will be music. And the moment that music will be played, those who were addicted to this, and those who had this disease and sickness, that they used to just follow the musicians and go to the musical shows, and go and listen to all the dancing and the singing girls. Then the moment Dajjal will come, they will follow and their iman will be at stake, because he will attract them with that, and then he will show magical tricks, and after that they will be trapped. So these are times of fitna. This is what I am repeatedly saying, that these are times of fitna. It is not even recommended that a person should travel out too much in these days, unless there is necessity. In these days, if there's a necessity, you travel out. If there's no necessity, then you remain at home, it is better. Because there's so much of fitnas in the outside world. Unless your iman is so strong, or you have a group with you that has got strong iman, or is going out to give dawat, like the jamaats go out to give dawat towards goodness, towards deen, towards Allah. So if everybody is going with that niyat, then alhamdulillah, it is good. But if not, then it is recommended that you don't even travel out too much these days. Unless your iman is strong enough that you can influence others towards deen. If not, what is going to happen is that others will influence us and they will take us for a ride. Brothers, I am not telling you fairy tales. When I tell you things, it is what I read in the letters, what people tell me. But I don't mention any names. Unless that person himself tells it to somebody else, then it is different. Or it is some matter that is related between two brothers and I have to contact the other person, then it is a different issue. But otherwise, any person who writes about his problems, then it is a secret. It's confidential. But for ibrat purposes, sometimes we mention it in the majlis. This brother tells me, he says, Maulana, I was a five-time namazi. I used to even do a lot of deen work. And I used to make tilawat of the Quran Sharif. And I was quite confident that I have got very strong iman. He says, I had to go to Hong Kong on a trip, a business trip. He said, when I was in one of the hotel rooms there, at night a woman tapped at the door. And I slipped. He said, I slipped. I forgot completely who I was. Therefore that incident of Hazrat Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayh, that a snake was frozen. It was not dead. And this person brought that snake to the village and he started showing that, see what a huge snake I caught. And people all came and admired. But then when the sun came out and the snow melted and the snake got the heat of the sun, then it swung again and it bit and everybody ran. It swings back. So don't ever think that we have reached a stage now where our nafs is dead and we can be very much assured that nafs and shaitan have left us. Great, great walis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, until their dying day, even at the time of the sakarat, they were still worried and concerned. As the Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayh, I mentioned in some other majlis, that when somebody told him that you are so fortunate, you are so great, so pious, so righteous, so close to Allah ta'ala, he said, I am like the passenger on the ship which is in midst ocean. And the ship is being lashed by storm. From all sides it is being lashed. And the passengers are in danger of drowning. And the ship is in danger of sinking. The passengers can only feel comfortable when they reach the shore. He says, the day I will take my iman and go from this world, then I will be proud and happy. I cannot be proud today. These were great people. Yet how concerned they were about their iman. Their iman was so strong. It was like a mountain. And our iman, it just melts away. It just melts away. Women can make it melt away. Wealth can make it melt away. Property can make it melt away. Inheritance can make it melt away. Gold and silver makes it melt away. Post and position makes it melt away. That is the condition of our iman. For a few miserable coins, we will do anything. So this is that nayi roshni. Dilo mein andhera hai bahar ujala. Dagha makro hirso hawa dil ke andar. Hasad bughz kibro riya dil ke andar. Dagha makro hirso hawa dil ke andar. Hasad bughz kibro riya dil ke andar. Nahi is zamane mein kya dil ke andar, nahi hai to khauf-e khuda dil ke andar. Nahi is zamane mein kya dil ke andar, nahi hai to khauf-e khuda dil ke andar. तेरा ऐ नई रोशनी मोह काला, दिलों में अंधेरा है बाहर उजाला. He said, what is not in these hearts these days? What do we not have in our hearts? Shrewdness, greed, evil desires and passions, jealousy, malice, pride, all this filth is in our hearts. If there is one thing that is not in our hearts these days, if there is one thing that is missing and that is not in our hearts, then that is khawf-e-khuda. Khawf-e-khuda is the only thing that's not in our hearts. Everything else is in our hearts. If only that one thing was in our heart, khawf-e-khuda, then all these things would have disappeared. Khawf-e-khuda will make all these things vanish. It will evaporate. It will disappear. It is just like if there is total darkness in this masjid. Total darkness. Lights all went off. Now total darkness. But one switch goes on and all the darkness is gone. Within seconds that darkness has disappeared. A little while ago the lights went off. There was darkness. But as soon as the light came on, all the darkness disappeared. So khawf-e-khuda is that light. It is that noor. When it enters the heart, then all these evils, they vanish, they evaporate, they disappear, they disintegrate. There's no sign left of them. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, His fear is such that it restrains the person from everything that is haram. But that fear is not the fear of lions and tigers and ferocious animals. That fear is born out of the love of Allah. Because we have so much of ni'mat showered upon us by that Allah, out of His mercy, out of His kindness, out of His generosity, in spite of the evils that we are committing day and night, how much of sins we are committing. But Allah Ta'ala is still showering upon us so much of His gifts, so much of His ni'mat. So He is the one that we should be loving. A person gives us a few cents, we love that person. Here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has blessed us with sight, with hearing, with speech, with health, with liver, with lung, with heart, and with transport, and with shelter, and with everything. How much we should love Him. So we should fear His displeasure. Because He who has given these ni'mats, He also has the power to pull the carpet from underneath our feet. He has the power. And He has done it many, many times in history. And we have seen it close by also. Lesotho is just across the borders. Not long ago, this happened just recently. Just recently, we all know what happened. So what can a person be proud of? When our monies will go into the casinos, when there will be gambling, when there will be drinking, when there will be fornication and adultery, when we will have just 2 and 3 people in the masjid for Fajr Salat, and only 6 people for Isha Salat, in places where there are thousands of people living. So then what else do we expect? Even the walls of the masjid, they too curse the person. When the masjids get destroyed, then the whole world screams. And it is only right and fair that we should scream. We should show our love. But we forget that when that masjid was standing there, at that time we had no love for that masjid to go in there and make our namaz. When the masjid was there, at time it was empty. When some non-Muslims or when disbelievers or when enemies of Islam destroy that masjid, then we talk about our love for that masjid. So what is love for the masjid? Love for the walls, love for the architecture, love for the beautiful clocks that we have, love for the lighting and the fixture and fittings. What is love for the masjid? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's time, Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah alayhi used to say, ke Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam ke zamane mein masjid kachi thi, lekin namazi pakke thi. Rasool Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam ke zamane mein masjid kachi thi, lekin usme namazi pakke thi. Aaj hamari masjid pakki ho gayi, lekin namazi kachche ho gaye. Bazaahir to har shay mein behad safai, magar dil mein hai gandagi intihai. بظاہر تو ہر شے میں بے حد صفائی مگر دل میں ہے گندگی انتہائی کبھی اس کے دھوکے میں آنا نہ بائی یہ ہے سب ریائی یہ ہے سب ریائی تیرا اے نئی روشنی منہ کالا दिलों में अंधेरा है बाहर उजाला. Outwardly in everything this great beauty, cleanliness. How many kinds of detergents we have for removing the dirt from our clothes. How many kinds of powders and soaps we have to wash our bodies and clean our faces. How many kinds of creams are used. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. Just for cleanliness of the body and for cleanliness of the clothes, billions are spent. Billions are spent. Every kind of perfume you can think of, every kind of cream, every kind of soap. Every day there are new additions on the market shelf. But when are we going to get those detergents for our hearts? When are we going to use those soaps to wash away the sins of our hearts? And what is that detergent? You don't have to pay any money for it. You don't have to go to any supermarket and purchase it. We do not have to have plenty of gold and silver to buy it. We do not have to have a big wage packet to purchase it. No matter how beautiful the wife may be, and no matter how much she is spending on all those items, on cosmetics, but here nothing is required. No money is required. The detergent of the heart, the soap for the washing away of all those sins, is nothing but istighfar and tawbah, sincere istighfar and tawbah. All it requires is a few tears of the eyes, a few tears in the heart, and sincere istighfar from all sins, and the sohbat of the Ahlullah. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala cleans and purifies those hearts. He cleans it and purifies it. And the person realizes it also. He feels the difference. He can sense the difference. It's not just something that is that he does not experience. He feels it. He experiences it. He senses it. That my heart, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, has purified with this tawbah that I have made. That sincere tawbah, that sincere repentance. Otherwise, outwardly there's plenty of cleanliness, plenty of beauty, plenty of everything. And it is not haram. Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized on cleanliness. He emphasized on cleanliness. Cleanliness of the masjid, cleanliness of the clothes, cleanliness of the home, cleanliness of everything Nabi alayhi sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized. He said, keep your verandas clean. So if he said, keep that clean, how much more emphasis on keeping the inside of the house clean? Why did he emphasize on cleanliness of the outside? Because the cleanliness of the outside has an effect on the inside. When the person wears dirty, torn and tattered clothes, yet Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with good clothes, or the person doesn't wash his clothes, perspiration, smell is emanating from those clothes, then it will have an effect on the heart too. The zikrullah of the heart will stop. So cleanliness and of all these things has been emphasized upon. Therefore it is told, don't bring your little children to the masjids. Don't bring your mad people to the masjids. Because if those little children are going to come to the masjid, they will do exactly what that one little child did 2-3 days ago here, that they will urinate in the masjid, and then they will not only soil the musalla of the masjid, but they will soil the clothes of others, and they will make that masjid napak. So what benefit will we get? Little children, they are always saying, Daddy, take me to the masjid, I want to come with you. 1-year-old child also wants to come to the masjid. But Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, did he bring those little babies to the masjid? Hazrat Imam Hassan and Hussein, that incident that they give of him them coming away to the masjid, that was an isolated incident. The door of the masjid was right next to the house of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. From there, or Hazrat Fatima's house, from there they just come into the masjid. Now little children are like that. If the door is open, suddenly, if my house had to be here and the door opens, the little children will come into the masjid. It was not that they purposely brought the little babies to the masjid. Namaz, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that when your child becomes 7 years of age, then tell that child to make namaz. Start making that child read namaz. And when he becomes 10 years of age, then reprimand that child. So it shows that if you want to bring the child to the masjid, at least that child must be of an age that it understands what is paki, safi, what is masjid, what is namaz. Otherwise we won't get any sawab, and we are not doing the child any favor. In fact, we are causing ourselves harm. And then we become offended. If somebody says that, why are you bringing these little babies and children here? We become offended. Whereas we should make shukr of that person. We should thank that person. That jazakallah for telling us. Inshallah, now we will leave this child to make namaz with the mother at home. and when it is of good age, then we will bring it to the masjid. It doesn't mean that every little baby that says, take me to the masjid, then you bring it away. Because this is what happens. The children, what do they know? In one masjid, the Imam Sahib says, they have 200 meter flat in my masjid. These little children come, they run their 200 meter flat in the masjid, up and down. Upar niche bas bhagte hai. So masjid cleanliness, home cleanliness, body cleanliness, all this cleanliness is essential. But it was intended to bring cleanliness into the heart. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me also that cleanliness, that purity. Because I am also making an effort only. I don't have it and I don't claim to have that noor of taqwa which I am inviting you towards. But the purpose of telling you is so that Allah ta'ala may bless me with it too. But we have seen people who have got that taqwa and who got that heart that is filled with the noor of iman, with the noor of zikr, with the noor of tilawat, that in their sohbat, in their company, in their majlis, how hearts change. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bless us all with those pure, clean hearts. It's not an overnight thing. We have to keep fighting against those evils. Keep fighting. Keep making a list that I've got so many weaknesses. Now if this hypocrisy, for example, now if we have got it, now we must make an effort to get rid of it. We have to find out what's the prescription of getting rid of it. And inshallah, the time will come when we will find that our hearts have cleared. Our hearts have become clean of hypocrisy, of jealousy, of malice and so many other sins. One brother tells me, he says that I'm very envious and jealous of my brother. Now brother is very envious and jealous of his brother. Now what are we talking about, strangers? He says whenever he gets anything, whenever he is in good wickets, straight away I feel jealous and envious. And he says my wife is very jealous of his wife. Whatever she gets, she is jealous. So both of us have got jealousy. But we don't know how to get rid of it. I said, well now at least, mashallah, you want to get rid of it. You want a prescription. So the prescription is this, that whenever that jealousy comes, at that time immediately make dua. No matter how difficult it is, but make dua. That, oh Allah, bless him with more than what you are giving him. Immediately make dua. Oh Allah, bless him with more than what you are giving him, but protect him from the fitna of that wealth, of that degree, of that whatever he is getting. If he's getting a car, then oh Allah, protect him from the fitna, that car must not go to haram places. But oh Allah, bless him with a better car. Oh Allah, bless him with a better home. Oh Allah, bless him with more wealth. Give him a better job. Now when you are going to make dua all the time, straight away that jealousy will start fading away. Then you meet the person, again you tell him the same thing too. In your privacy you make dua for him, and when you meet him also you tell him the same thing. That Allah Ta'ala give you better. May Allah Ta'ala give you prosperity and success. Now you are telling him that. Then he has already received gifts from Allah Ta'ala, more than what you can stomach. But now from your side, give him some gift also. Give him some gift, no matter how difficult on the heart. This woman is jealous of the other woman. She has got a lot of jewelry, she's got a lot of cash, and she's got good home. So now take some pot, some dish, some utensil, and give her as a gift, further gift. When you meet the person, you make salam. Don't backbite, don't talk ill. When you are going overseas or you're going out somewhere, then meet the person nicely, give dua and then go. These few simple things you do, then within a few days or months you will find that that jealousy will change to friendship. And now what will happen is that once you love a person, then it makes you pleased and happy if that person gets more. When you love a person, then it makes you happy. Like if the father loves the son, then if that son is progressing, will the father be jealous? If the mother loves the daughter and the daughter is progressing, have you heard anybody, any mother or father going and telling the people that I'm very jealous and envious, why is my son making progress, he must come down. So once this duas will make you begin to love that person, then automatically now the jealousy will disappear. So these are what I'm talking about, prescription for purification of the heart, which we have neglected altogether today. We will ask the buzrugs for dua, Allah Ta'ala must make my business flourish. But how many people go and ask the buzrug that this is my sickness, this is my weakness, give me some prescription so that I can purify this heart of mine. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. اے اللہ جو کچھ ہم نے کہا سنا اس کو تو قبول فرما. او اللہ purify and cleanse our hearts of all the filth that has settled in our hearts. Oh my Allah, there is nothing but darkness in our hearts because of the abundance of sins that we have committed. But oh Allah, you are loving, you are forgiving, you are merciful, you are kind. You are so compassionate, you are so generous. Oh my Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Forgive our major sins and our minor sins. Forgive the sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. Forgive the sins of our outward selves and our inner selves. Ya Allah, purify our hearts from malice, from greed, from pride, from arrogance, from evil desires and passions, and from all other filth. Oh my Allah, the life that is gone, but the life that is left, keep us on Sirat-e-Mustaqeem. Ya Allah, bless us with good health, with long life, with prosperity, with happiness, with success. Ya Allah, bless us all with joy and with satisfaction, with sabr, with shukr, with zuhd, and with taqwa. When we have to leave this world, oh Allah, let there be kalima la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah on our lips. Ay, mere pyare khuda, is dunya se jab jane ka waqt aaye to kalima aur iman ke saath hame utha. Ya Allah, ye ijtema jo hone wala hai usko kamyab farma. Jo bhi tere raah mein nikalne wale unko ikhlas ki daulat se mala mal farma. سب کو اپنا قرب نصیب فرما. اے اللہ, ہم سب کو بھی اپنے دین کے لیے قبول فرما. یا اللہ, ہم سب کو اپنا قرب خاص نصیب فرما, ہم کو اپنا ولی کامل بنا دے. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم. ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين. There will be no majlis on Sunday. You can check the board for the date of the next majlis, inshallah.